The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member at TNTRadio.live. Rick Mahn is locked and loaded on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yes, locked and loaded, our number two here on Monday, the 25th of March, 2024. Great first hour to the show, talking with Tanushka Mara and obviously with Basil Valentine. Coming up in this hour, Gemma Cooper will be joining me shortly, and then Johnny Vedmore will be hopping on 2 years to the day since he made his TNT debut as a guest, now coming back on as a guest, but slash colleague slash presenter on the show as well. And he's got off to a great start from what I could see of his content last week. So big props due to Johnny Vedmore. And then in the final slot of the show today, Tim Hinchliffe, who is the editor for sociable.co based in Colombia. He will be coming back on to talk about various developments with Neuralink and obviously some of the pieces that he wrote maybe 6-7 years ago that are becoming very, very almost prophetic now when we look back on them, about how society's breeding a wave of golems, you know, these humanoid type creatures with no real soul. And I suppose when you look around at the generation that's coming up now with their faces stuck to iPads, iPods, iPhones and Android phones and tech this and tech that and tech the other, I'm not saying they don't have any souls, but let's face it, there's not a lot of depth when you look out there in the general public now. And it's not just the kids. Hell's bells, you're seeing grannies and grandas now as well, sitting in coffee shops, pawing, you know, flicking. Old people, watch old people with mobile phones. It's really funny. When they want to scroll up, instead of doing this, they'll make these massive, massive gestures as if they're flinging things into the air. It's quite a sight to behold, watching an old man or an old woman trying to navigate around an iPhone. But hey, not that I'm paying them that much attention, obviously, but something that I've noticed. Plenty happening at the minute. If you haven't checked out our website, please do so, tntradio.live. On it, you'll find our currently updating schedule, because we're constantly fine-tuning the shows and the show times. We are endeavouring to keep it as updated as possible. There'll be a few more amendments made over the next week or so. And of course, if you're based in the UK, our daylight savings ends, I believe, next Saturday night. So from next week, unless I'm mistaken, all the shows will be pushed up by an hour. So Locked and Loaded will go from 10 to 12, which it is at the minute, to 11 to 1. And all the shows in the morning will all be shunted up by an hour as well. So keep an eye out for that come next week. We have a What's On section on the website also. If you're hosting an event, or if you want to find out what's happening in your area, check out our website and look for the What's On section. And of course, we're streaming out live at the moment, both audio and visually, on YouTube, on Odyssey, on BitChute, on Rumble, and of course, our own website, tntradio.live. And if you've missed any of the shows, and shame on you if you've missed any of the shows, you can catch up with them again on Spotify or Apple Music. Simply search for TNT Radio and you will be able to download our app and catch up on anything that you may have missed. And lastly, of course, if you have any thoughts, opinions or suggestions, leave them in the live chat. Feedback on the shows, what you like to see more of, what you don't want to see so much of. And of course, we can't please everybody, but we're doing our best to take on board feedback and try and implement positive changes wherever we can, or you can email me directly. Rick Mahn at tntradio.live. Give me a personal email if you really want to. And you can blow me up or abuse me there if you so decide to do so. But I do read all emails and I do try and get back to them. So we're going to take a brief pause and continue sailing the good ship TNT through the turbulent waters of life. In just a minute, don't go away.
The facts, no spin or agenda.
Not enough with the lies. We need the facts.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
So joining me again, I have the great pleasure of welcoming back Gemma Cooper, our news correspondent, talking about the biggest breaking stories in the UK at this moment in time. Gemma, no shortage of them at the minute. No slow news days for us at the moment, is there?
No, but I must confess that description of you with old people at coffee shops and mobile phones, that's me. I'm terrible. And what is it they call people my age? A boomer, you know, and they say, how can you tell that someone's a boomer? It's because they got a mobile phone case shaped like a book and they scroll up with their index finger. That is totally me.
I'm a boomer. I'm a boomer too. There's mine. Yeah. Unashamed boomer. That's me.
Yeah, I was at the youngsters. Okay, boomer, you know, shut up, boomer. But yeah, that's me. That's me. I'm a boomer. Headlines. That's what I'm paid to do. As we were talking in the last hour, one of the biggest headlines today, and I know you've discussed this, is the address in Parliament. Deputy Prime Minister talking about China's threat to the elections and hacking after hacked into the Electoral Commission's database of millions of UK electoral voters back in 2021. China's also being blamed, along with Iran and Russia, for the flood of disinformation, allegedly, about Kate Middleton that's been doing the rounds over the last few weeks. And the Defence Democracy Task Force, a working group headed by one of the security ministers, has been set up to clamp down on social misinformation, disinformation, their definition of, and also monitoring social media. So we need to watch that one with great interest, Rick. Britain is also going to spend an extra $760 million on its nuclear deterrent. Rishi Sunak has announced that, and nuclear power. The government says it's at a time when the world is more dangerous than ever. And a story we didn't get to at the last hour, but certainly worth touching on, given the current narrative that's been dominating global headlines. Cancer in young people is on the rise in Northern Ireland, according to researchers there, but not just Northern Ireland, the rest of the UK, Australia, and America. 18 to 49 year olds have seen a 20% increase in figures released by the Queen's University of Belfast. And this is going back to figures that started in 1993. They said cancer is on the rise, cancers they wouldn't expect in young people, and they can't put a definitive reason on it.
Yeah, Queen's University, Belfast, that's where I, believe it or not, graduated from. I actually have an honours degree in science. Can you believe it? Some people can't believe that I can even read and write, let alone get myself a so-called degree. And I don't mean third degree Burns either. But yeah, Queen's responsible for coming out with these figures. Obviously, a trusted source, in inverted commas, but certainly reflecting what's actually happening in, what's happening in people's health here in Northern Ireland, Gemma. There's one guy in particular who seems to have a genuine concern over excess deaths in Northern Ireland and what's happening with regards to these spikes in turbo cancers and whatnot. And it's a guy called Paul Frew. He is an MP for the DUP, the Democratic Unionist Party, and he does seem to be a lone voice, because when he brings it up in Stormont, he brings up about vaccine injuries, he brings up about excess deaths, he brings up about issues like this. He's met with almost scorn and disdain in some cases, and rationalizing it away, blaming things on climate change, blaming things on the pandemic or the scamdemic. Sooner or later, the dam will absolutely have to burst with this. And sadly, the amount of people that are actually trying to sound the trumpet and sound the alarm are few and far between. Why is that? I mean, you get the odd person here and there, but when you look at it, you can't hide from these stats. These stats are bad in every area. Excess deaths, vaccine injuries, vaccine deaths, turbo cancers among 18 to 49 year olds. What's it going to take for people to pull their heads out of the sands and stand up and do what's right?
It's a very difficult one, isn't it? What indeed will it take when the figures are so startling? And Queen's University Belfast have been very careful to not put a reason to this, to not attribute a reason. They have said the types of cancers that are on the increase amongst young people. And there is quite a significant list: bowel cancer, breast cancer, stomach cancer, pancreatic cancer, all on the rise, and all early onset cancers, which means before the age of 50. The cancers that used to be common, they say, are testicular and brain for women and breast for men, sorry, but testicular and brain for men, and breast cancer for women. But now bowel cancer is the biggest one. They have given a nod towards smoking and drinking and obesity and sedentary lifestyles. But even there, they say we can't definitively say it's one thing over another. Nobody wants to look at the effects of the last 4 years. Nobody wants to look at turbo cancers being linked. Anybody that does you know, one of the leading broadcasters on another channel in the UK, has basically been censored for suggesting turbo cancers are linked to vaccines. But the data is there for all to see. It's a 20% jump since 1993. What's interesting is they don't break it down. They don't see how many of those cancers have been since 2020. I think that's the figure and the data we'd be very interested in analysing and looking at if they did release that. But yeah, Queen's University Belfast and the Northern Ireland Cancer Registry have all looked at these figures and released these figures today. But yeah, what will it take? Well, it's a rhetorical question. You know, I don't know. It's not a rhetorical question, rather. I don't know. What will it take for people to look at what we've been putting into our bodies globally and the spike in cancers from 18 to 49 year olds? What will it take?
And the other thing is, obviously not every cancer is caused by, you know, an mRNA shot, if you believe that, or of course, cancer's always been there and cancer's always going to be there. But it's this increased rate that we need to be wary of, because the other thing is to don't forget, just leading into another topic of discussion around this, Gemma, there's obviously a very big push at the moment on about breakthrough cancer treatments going to become available in the UK, obviously using the mRNA tech that was infamous during the COVID shots, which, let's face it, didn't actually do anything. They weren't safe. They weren't effective. They didn't stop transmission, or even if you believe in that, they did nothing effectively for people except make companies like Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, and the people pushing these products billionaires. So now we're being repackaged effectively on the back of cancer. And of course, cancer is something that's very close to a lot of people. Many people have lost loved ones because of it. And obviously, there's a great fear when we hear reports that the cancer is on the rise. People, I think, will be scrambling for anything they can to maybe mitigate that. But if they're going back to the peddlers of the jabs for the last 2 to 3 years, or the government that have lied to them, or the medical establishment that, you know, closed down wards and put DNR notices above, you know, people with learning difficulties, I think they're looking to the wrong place.
Absolutely, yeah. And where did diet and exercise go when it came to preventative health? You know, this disappeared from headlines. I remember when I was in the mainstream, the slew of headlines I would see about, you know, a walk a day slashes your risk of cancer, diabetes, heart disease, all of those things, five a day of your fruit and veg. We never, ever. It's almost like there's been a blanket censorship on those types of headlines now. And it's now vaccine for cancer. Only last week, University of Oxford was announcing $1.7 million grant from cancer research to develop a lung cancer vaccine. It's all vaccine, vaccine, vaccine. I think everybody's got so used to that lexicon in the language now of vaccine, vaccine, vaccine. Whether or not you see an uptake of people wanting a vaccine for cancer after the last 4 years, I don't know. I mean, people that think like us won't. If you're listening and watching TNT, no, you won't. But will other people? Because it's such an emotive illness. And lo and behold, it's the biggest story in the world at the moment, a narrative led by the British royal family and lots of theories surrounding why Kate's got cancer and all of the things, speculation that's gone along with that, which are right questions to ask, actually. But the figures are shocking. 20% rise. I mean, you know, you could argue that life doesn't really begin until 50. I would argue that actually now I'm 50 plus. You get to know yourself. You find out who you are. You really live the rest of your life on your own terms. So 18 to 49, your life's barely begun. It's not even halfway through. And yet we're seeing these huge spikes. And this isn't the only set of figures that's been released in the last week or so since the Princess of Wales, some huge story about cancer rise in young people. This is not the only body of research that has come out. I really want to try and see if I can break down how much of that increase is 2020 plus, though. I know we're not saying not every single vaccine leads to cancer, but I reckon there's been a big spike in the last 4 years.
Without doubt. And the other thing is too, and I'm no researcher and I'm not knocking anybody that's trying to come up with, you know, better ways to treat cancer or cures, but, you know, prevention is better than cure. Take as many steps as you can, be active, don't be sedentary, try and eat clean, look after your body as best you can. It's not going to guarantee anything, but it'll certainly stack the odds in your favor. When you think, Gemma, about the amount of cancer charities that are in the UK at the minute and the amount of funding that has been pumped into them over decades, you know, how much further are they down the line to getting the breakthrough that everybody's waiting for? And compare that to, for example, what Big Pharma rolled out in less than a year when it came to the so-called COVID shots worldwide. They were able to come up with something, what, within 6 to 8 months and get it out into people's arms less than a year after the beginning of the whole so-called pandemic, March 2020. It started, and by Christmas that year, the first needles were going into people's arms. And, you know, that's less than 9 months. And most vaccines take, what, 10 to 15 years at least to research, development, and clinically test. 9 months for this, and then all of a sudden the tech's being ruled out for cancer. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, and I'm not telling anybody what to do. But genuinely, me personally, Rick Munn, if I am told that I've got cancer and the government has a new experimental treatment, mRNA, that they want to roll out to me, I will take my chances with my own body and whatever other treatments are available there. No smiling assassin coming at me with a syringe in their hand. Probably I won't see them smiling because they'll probably have a N95 respirator mask wrapped around their face like a face hugger from Alien. You remember that movie Aliens? The face hugger, it's stuck under their face and stuck a tube. That's what these people are like. But anyway, I digress slightly, but interesting story, no doubt. We're not going to hear the end of this one, Gemma. We're not going to hear the end of this one, and we'll keep people up to date as and when we find out more. So massive thanks to you for all your input this morning. As always, we will talk again tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., and I shall be back at the other side of this short break with the one and only Johnny Vedmore. So please don't go away. Stay tuned for more here on TNT. Today's News Talk.
TNT's James Freeman.
Now that I'm sitting on the other side of the fence, I see the budget in a very different light. I find the discussions and leaks in the press in the weeks running up to the budget totally patronising. You know, will he, won't he, give us some tax cuts? When the reality is that nothing in the budget will make any material difference to anyone, pretty much. That's usually the story. It is a game of musical chairs, where the government giveth with one hand and taketh with the other. And we're all reminded about how little money that we've got left in our pockets.
James Freeman on today's News Talk, TNT. A better business tip from TNT Radio. The benefits of advertising on today's News Talk, TNT Radio, should be clear to businesses of any shape or size. It can be accessed anywhere, anytime, by anybody, and is the perfect way to build brand awareness and stimulate digital activity. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
Internet.
A stream online.
tntradio.live. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Well, 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 I am joined this morning, very happy to be joined this morning for the second time on Locked and Loaded by the one and only Johnny Vedmore. And I don't know if Johnny knows this or not, but it's exactly 2 years to the day since you made your TNT debut, 25th of March, 2022. You came on here as a guest. You're back on as a guest, but now also as a colleague of mine. Very happy to have you as one on TNT. Welcome, Johnny Vedmore. How are you doing today, mate?
I'm awesome. I couldn't be happier to be back. And what a fact. I knew it was it was 2 years. I did not realize it was 2 years to the day. That's awesome. That's awesome. Yep. And TNT have been one of the only platforms to give me a platform, you know, about some of the stuff we talk about. So amazing to be here as a colleague of yours. Yeah, man. I'm well up for it.
I know you are, and I don't. You probably don't remember the conversation we had, but genuinely, I have a pretty good memory. And what I do remember, two things from when we first spoke. Number one, we spoke about Porton Down. We talked about the experimental work that went on in Porton Down in the UK, and I can remember commenting on your name. I thought you've got a really awesome name, Johnny Vedmore, and I remember saying at the time it's a mix up of Johnny Cash, Eddie Vedder, and Richie Blackmore. If you splice them all together, you get yourself Johnny Vedmore. So those were my two takeaways from the first time you came on here. I don't know if you can remember anything at all.
No. But I have trouble remembering. I have so many interviews. Not to say that I don't remember the interviews. I do remember like talking about Porton Down, but no, I don't remember that comparison. And post pandemic, Eddie Vedder's a hard one to come across, you know, kind of to accept now. I was a big Pearl Jam fan growing up, especially into my grunge, and then seeing him and others take the stage to promote the vaxxers like that were terrible men.
No, yeah, a lot. And listen, a lot of water has passed under the bridge, Johnny, in the last couple of years. And by the way, for anybody that's not familiar with Johnny, he came on board last week as a full-fledged TNT presenter. His show is from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. UK time. But next week, I believe that'll all be shunted up by an hour. So we'll be doing 5 to 7 because all the clocks move next week. So everybody gets bunched up by an hour. Johnny is a writer, a proper investigative journalist, and also he's the founder of Newspaste.com and JohnnyVedmore.com as well. So you're in TNT now. I know you've been laboring hard over the years. You've been doing your thing. You've been digging deep into a lot of issues. Since you've come on board, obviously, I checked out some of your shows last week. It was great. You've got some fantastic guests on there. What's your focus, Johnny, now that you have this platform? Obviously, you've been doing a lot of work in certain areas over the last 2 years, but I think you'll expand a little bit now as you're exposed to more people to talk to, and obviously a lot more is happening in the world on a daily basis now than even there was 2 years ago.
Yeah, well, there's a feeling, trepidation involved because of what's happened over the past few years. You know, you get an opportunity like this to have on the guests you want to talk to and talk about the subjects you really want to talk about. And suddenly, you know, there's a platform there that'll let you do that. That's just insane. So, you know, there's a feeling of trepidation, like I don't want to mess it up. Like I'm stepping carefully, trying to work out whether the water is really that warm, but it feels that warm. Of course, it can leave you distracted by the other platforms, make you think that everything's much better. I posted up a clip of me speaking with Andrew Kaufman from last week on YouTube, mm-hmm. and it got taken down within 45 minutes as misinformation. So I mean, that it's not like the world around us is changing, but the platform itself gives me an opportunity to speak with lots of people, and my focus is going to be on trying to find stories that not just, you know, I described this in the first show. A lot of our interviews on something like TNT are like, in a sense, posts, single posts that we put up that this is about this event, talking with this person. But I want to really make sure that I interview people about subjects that I can then combine and present in longer form as well, and can build up within to a story feature as well. But I really like the idea of exploring all of the areas which other people aren't exploring. That's what I love to do. But to do that is quite hard because people are scared. People are still scared. I mean, you say a lot of water's passed under the bridge over the past few years, and it's left people feeling, you know, completely and utterly terrified by what's coming, what's been. I'm really happy to be given the opportunity. So as soon as I found my feet properly, as soon as, like, you know, little bits of tech issues, you have like a sound issue on one day or a camera issue on another day, as soon as those are all sorted, I'll feel much happier. I'll feel much more confident, and I'll be looking to really just, like, you know, give a bloody lip to the establishment, really.
Yeah, and I think we have to do that because, you know, we have to make the best of this platform. And obviously, something else that from my experience as well, just from me to you, one of the beautiful things about this platform is that over time, you'll develop relationships with guests in that you'll get them back maybe periodically. So it won't be just like a one-off podcast and then they maybe don't speak to them again for 2 years or a year. You might find you have people coming back every 4 to 6 weeks, certain people that you'll really gel with that are really good and great talkers about a topic that you feel passionately about. And like I said, strangely, even, you know, yourself, 2 years from the day from we first spoke, effectively, you're still coming back here. This week, I have a guy coming on Wednesday. He was my very first ever guest on TNT the day that we actually launched. He's been coming on here periodically for the last 2 years. Tim Hinchliffe, who's coming on after you, he's based in Colombia. He's been coming on for a year and a half too. Just periodically, you'll keep up with these people and listeners as well, I believe, start to develop, you know, not a relationship with people, but they start to know what they expect, and you can start to tailor your content according to what you like and what they like too.
Yeah, well, I've met a couple of the really strong supporters at the TMT Comcast event that was this weekend. It's just I got back from late last night, still with a bit of a hangover, I got to admit, and some of the people who were there, Little Carol being one of, that everybody knows from in the chat. Everybody knows her. Well, to meet people who are actually motivated to find out this information, I love that. I love that. To meet people who are, you know, I met another person this weekend, connected with was Nicholas Cotton, who, I mean, we have, but, and this is really interesting, we have the same thoughts on many of the same issues. We combine about almost everything. I mean, nearly everything we do is like roughly like flowing alongside, but we've never really found each other before. It's taken a TNT event to combine us together and get, and that's even weirder because we actually came from the same community in Cardiff. So I remember Nick being ousted by the many left-winger sort of hipsters in Cardiff for coming out as being someone who questions narratives, you know? And so even in your own city, it's hard to come across these people. Even in your own communities, even in your own social groups, it's hard to come across people who are censored. They're not only censored by the media, these people, they're censored by their own friends and their own family a lot of the time. So we are kind of like that river that the water's passed under, you know, that bridge, that is all of us, but a lot of us don't meet, and this platform has allowed us to combine, come together and create something new and beautiful and true.
Yeah, and it is a sweet thing. Last year, we did that Better Way conference in Bath. TNT sponsored that, and actually Mike Ryan, who's our CEO, flew over from Australia with his wife, Lynn, lovely lady. And it was amazing to sit. We actually did some live broadcasting from the convention, and little Carol that you're talking about there, she actually made the trip down to meet everybody. She was actually sitting in the room with us as we were doing the live broadcast, and then people were just walking past, not realizing we're doing a live broadcast and getting involved with it. And when you start to bridge the gap between, you know, this digital communication that we have here on Zoom or however anybody else happens to be listening to this, when you meet up with people in the flesh, it just really galvanizes those relationships even further. And you will find there's a lot more kindred spirits out there. Not you personally, but people are finding there's a lot more kindred spirits out there than we first realized. We're not just as isolated, and we're not just in the minority that the establishment would like us to believe that we're in. There's a lot of like-minded individuals like us out there. And that is certainly a cause for concern on the government's part, I would say, Johnny. We've got to take a quick headline break. And when we come back at the other side, I want to talk about another Welshman. Never talked about so many Welshmen in all my life. I'm going to talk about another one who happens to be a colleague of ours too, who put a post up on X over the last few days, and I want to look at it. We are the response to their poison jabs, etc. None other than James Freeman. So we'll dig into that when we come back at the other end on TNT. Today's News Talk.
This news just in. TNT Radio News.
Ready? Go! Go!
Matt Boylant here with your TNT headlines. There's been a major escalation in the war in Ukraine, where Russia has launched a wave of airstrikes across the country, with one of the missiles breaching NATO airspace in Poland. The bombardment, a direct response to missile strikes in Crimea. France has raised its security alert to its highest level following Friday's terrorist attack in Moscow, and tensions are threatening to boil over in the South China Sea following yet another confrontation between the Philippines and Beijing.
Globalist agendas, democratic rights at risk, corruption, propaganda. It never stops. For the news and views silenced by the mainstream media, by government and corporations, vote one. TNT Radio. Free speech always has a home here. Stay up to date with the latest live news and current affairs delivered by our lineup of expert commentators and hosts. Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio, or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's News Talk. This is TNT Radio.
Yes, TNT Radio, Today's News Talk, and I'm happy to be joined this morning by Johnny Vedmore. Johnny is, of course, the host of the Johnny Vedmore Show, and you can check it out Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. for this week only. Next week, it shunts up to 5 to 7 p.m., but the content, no doubt, will still be the same. Johnny, you were talking about Nick Cotton, a guy that is moving in the same circles of yours, somebody that you've connected with. James Freeman, who does the Freeman Report as well. I believe he's certainly based in Wales. He put up a post last week, and this is what he said. I just want to highlight it. He said, "We are not far-right conspiracists, and we don't want to be a resistance. We just want to live our lives in peace. However, we have to respond to their," and in his words, "poison jabs, daylight robbery, attacks on the family, satanic depravity, warmongering, and gaslighting. It would be a job in and of itself, Johnny, to address one of those issues, maybe two, but we're fighting a war on very, very many fronts. And I think if we're not united, or we don't provide a united front against this, certainly divided, we're going to fall."
Yeah, most definitely. And James Freeman is someone who I can say I love. I mean, I don't only love his show and his work, but I've also been round his house, and I destroyed his son at chess. But don't tell anyone, it'll embarrass him. Four moves. I've never done that in a chess in a chess game before. But this is what this is. This is a lot like chess. So this is, you know, we haven't got just one piece that we're playing with. We're playing with loads of pieces. There's loads of angles. There's loads of people who are playing against us who are professional chess players, who know how to play this game really well and know how to keep us under the cosh, manipulated, with divided. That's the most important. I think we all know on this scene especially, that the division, they've divided us. We're the ones, we are the consequence of the division, the constant division. They divide us up over Brexit, we divide. They divide us up over COVID, we divide again. They divide us up over and over. And then eventually there came this unit of people who said, "No, no, no, I see what's happening here, and I will not be divided." If you, we are fighting not only the people who are pushing forward this division, but the people who accept being divided too. And, you know, I worked in a hotel when I was writing like a lot of my articles in like 2020, 2019, 2018, 2017. I was working on the front desk of a hotel. It was a one-man hotel, a travel lodge, and I was just constantly typing behind the desk. They thought I was doing the work. Of course, I was researching the elite and the global elite, but I would speak with lots of people from all around the country. And a lot of the time, you'd have a load of people who, like, through Brexit, would have really extremely, you'd have a line of guests waiting to check out all at the same time, and they're all arguing with each other. And it gets to the point where one becomes so enraged and shouts and this is a life we've been living. And to become enraged, to start shouting, that's when you have lost. We've got to learn how to be concise, like James Freeman does with his posts, where he comes straight and he cuts through the narrative, he cuts through the rubbish, and he says, "Look, this is what the situation is, and we need to understand it. That situation can only continue happening if we're divided, and for that we need, on our side as well, to use language that unites us rather than divides us."
Yeah, for definite, because, you know, a house divided against itself can't stand, and the fall will be great. And that's what the establishment would like to see. They'd like to see TNT fall apart. They'd like to see you and I at loggerheads about, "I don't like who you've got on, and I don't like your content." No, the beautiful thing about this platform is there's someone on here for everyone. So even if people hate you and they hate me and they hate James Freeman, they're going to like somebody who's on in the middle of the night in America. And the people that don't like the American people are going to gravitate towards the UK people. That's why it's good to have a breadth and a depth of people on this here. And I saw a great live stream. You did a fantastic live stream last week. Just open question, open mic, talking about your new gig, talking about what you hope the future would hold. And somebody asked, you said, "Do you not fear that TNT is becoming like GB News, for example?" And you said, I think I'm paraphrasing here, "Well, if TNT wants to be GB News, hiring me, Johnny Vedmore, is probably the worst mistake that they can possibly make, because you're not being told what to say and do." I'm pretty sure of that. And I've never, honestly, I can say this hand on heart, no one's ever said to me, "Rick, don't talk about that. Don't do this, don't do that. There's a brief. We need to talk about current affairs and we need to talk about relevant issues." But I have no restrictions on me on who I can get on the show ever since day one. And I'm pretty sure you won't have that either. Unlike other establishments that seem to have a veneer of freedom and independence, but in reality, you know, there's rules and regulations and stipulations. There's no such thing here in TNT. I can only talk for me. You speak openly and freely. Tell it from the horse's mouth. Are you restricted?
No. The horse's mouth, I nearly neighed there, you see. That's how much of a horse's mouth that was. Because I could tell you that I've studied, one of the things I've studied a lot over the past year, especially, is the independent media and the people who are the organizations that want to be looking like the independent media, like GB News, but are actually, you know, the establishment dressed up in our clothes. However much we'd like to turn around and say, oh, look, they're speaking about the things that we feel passionate about. We should support them and be with them. I love Neil Oliver. However much people do that, you know, they've got to realize that, for instance, Neil Oliver, who's very popular on GB News, is the soft end of a very, very sharp stick. But it's still part of the stick. It's the people, whatever he says, the people who are above him are telling him what he can and can't say and how far he can push it. In my, what I've experienced and what I've been told by many, all of the TNT hosts so far, is that there is zero restriction, zero censorship. You know, they employ people who are looking to get out the truth and then they allow them to get out the truth. I don't get people restricting who I book, who I talk to. I don't get people telling me what I am or I'm not allowed to say. I get people saying, as long as you do the parts where you turn up for your shift, you have a good camera and you have a good microphone, that you're willing to talk, willing to do the job properly, you can talk about what you like, mm-hmm. what you want. And what I want to talk about is the things that come up in my research. And some of it, you know, is really dangerous, dangerous topic. So you're not allowed to speak out about anymore. And I love that. The idea that, because dangerous radical journalism can only exist if you're testing the boundaries. It's like radical feminism. Feminism got by people like Gloria Steinem and others turned it into what Camille Paglia called the Betty Crocker style of feminism that they have. You know, this very middle of the road where you don't go out of lines. You cannot do that. The radical feminism is about pushing the border boundaries, whether or not those boundaries really should be pushed or you think you should push them. They need to be pushed because we need to understand what truth is and where the boundaries are. That's what we're given the opportunity to do right now.
You know what? We'll have to wrap this up now. Time is our enemy. Talk about globalists, talk about Klaus Schwab. Our big enemy, mate, on TNT is time, because we don't have enough of it to talk about the things we want to, about the people we should be talking to. So we're making the best of it. Johnny, I know you've had a long weekend, and in your own words, you're hungover, but it hasn't dampened your enthusiasm and your passion. And if you're not familiar with Johnny, he carries that through into his own show. And if you haven't done it already, shame on you. Check out the Johnny Vedmore Show today, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. UK time. Big salute to you, Johnny. People can catch you at Johnny, J-O-H-N-N-Y, Vedmore on the X or Twitter platform, or also on NewsPaste, Paste, P-A-S-T-E. com. Listen, thank you so much, mate. Really appreciate seeing you again. Really happy to see you again in this capacity, and wish you nothing but the best for your career in TNT, whether it be for another week or another year or even 2 years if you manage it by some miracle like I did. Listen, take it day by day and keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a fantastic job. That's the one and only Johnny Vedmore. Check him out later on. Got to take a break and bring on Tim Hinchliffe from Colombia, Medellin, Pablo Escobar's stomping grind. Yes, he's on TNT now, so don't go away. We'll be right back on TNT, today's news talk.
I'm Naheem Hines, professional football player and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care. And they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
Food isn't just fuel to live, it's fuel to grow. My family relied on public assistance to help provide meals for us. These meals fueled my involvement in theater and the arts as a child, which fostered my love for acting. The Feeding America network of food banks helps millions of people put food on the table. When people are fed, futures are nourished. Join the movement to end hunger, and together we can open endless possibilities for people to thrive. Visit feedingamerica.org/act now.
This is Locked and Loaded with Rick Munn on TNT.
Man, I'm happy. This particular hour of Locked and Loaded makes me very, very happy today. Johnny Vedmore was on. I haven't spoken to him for 2 years, exactly 2 years, since he was last in Locked and Loaded. Now he's on TNT as a presenter. And this guy in particular, genuinely, I was just happy to see his face again. Tim Hinchliffe is now joining me from just outside Medellin in Colombia. Tim, welcome back after what seems like a dog's age to TNT. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks. Yeah, so great to see you. Yeah, it's been a long time. I've been almost like a year and a half or 2 years or something. And since the first time we saw each other, which February 2021, I think was the first time. But yeah, it's what got me all started on TNT. Love it.
It was. And listen, it's great to see you back again. The time zones changed. My shift got moved very early in the morning. And because you're in Colombia, I think you're 5 hours behind. So you'd have to be getting up at like 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning. So that was undoable. But now that things have changed a little bit, I'll be able to talk to some of my old sparring partners again, the like of yourself. And if you're not familiar with Tim, let me just direct people your way. You can follow him on Twitter at Tim Hinchliffe. A lot of people mispronounce his name. They call him Hinchcliffe. It's not Hinchcliffe. It's Hinchliffe. Okay, L-I-F-F-E. Follow him there on X. And he's also the editor at the Sociable website at thesociable.co. Tim, an awful lot is happening in the world right now. Hell's bells, man. A lot of the stuff we talked about from 2 years ago, we speculated on. We were sort of trying to foresee whether it was going to happen or not. It's all starting to crystallize now. The old pieces are all coming together in this nasty jigsaw puzzle in these present times.
Yeah, especially with the whole digital apparatus, digital identity and central bank digital currency avenues. That's what I've been paying a lot of attention to, because, you know, we were talking about this stuff before with the vaccine passports leading to digital ID. Mm-hmm. And now that there's been lots of movements in Europe, the European Union, with going ahead with that. And then so, you know, I've been trying to look at other examples of where they brought in digital ID, and they always say it's going to be voluntary, but then they just make your life miserable, little totalitarian tiptoe thing. So yeah, just like with China, with their digital ID, I believe that it was supposed to be voluntary at first. And then India, of course, was another one. India made people's lives or miserable if you didn't get their Aadhaar digital ID. And so I see that kind of happening in Europe as well. You know, they say it's going to be voluntary for now. Yeah, well, it's voluntary and free to use, but you know, over time, goalposts can shift. You know, crises can be launched or acknowledged or declared. And so, yeah, that's where I've been playing my been focusing a lot on the digital ID aspect and central bank digital currencies, because I see all that leading towards social credit.
Yep. The other thing as well that we've looked at in the past, I can remember once we held a roundtable discussion for about 2 hours on TNT, there was yourself, David Nolan from Stop Common Pass, and Seek for Truth. Remember Seek for Truth? I believe the three of us hopped on and we had a 2 hour extravaganza. We talked about the digital IDs. We talked about what might be coming down the line. And remember, this was 2 years ago. Another thing we talked about that you also touch upon is this AI brain interfacing using the like of Neuralink. Now, Neuralink, Musk is being credited with the first interface, you know, putting chips in people's brain. But this sort of stuff has been going on for quite some time now. But if you look at Neuralink's Twitter page or X page, it just simply says we're creating a general purpose high bandwidth interface to the brain. That's it. They don't make it sound sinister in the slightest. And the first thing that they've put on here is a pinned tweet that said, "We aim to build the future of brain-computer interfaces. Want to create the future with us? Apply to openings on our patient registry today." So they're now actively canvassing for recipients experimental recipients for the Neuralink implant, just as if they're inviting you to come for a coffee or, you know, to have a little chat about how's life going on. Register today with our patient registry and aim to build the future of brain-computer interface. It sounds like something off, what do you call that? Schwarzenegger movie where Total Recall. It sounds like, you know, the when they want to stick the thing in, that sounds like something out of their marketing. But
yeah, I wonder if that was the kind of marketing that they did a few years ago when they launched mRNA technology too. Come join this, the trials and everything. This, you're part of history and saving humanity. And yeah, a lot of things went wrong there. This is another one of those things with Neuralink. Yeah, you're right. They're not the first to do this. They've been doing in universities and laboratories and private companies as well. They've been all working on these sorts of things. And the thing is, I understand how technology can help and heal humanity in wonderful ways. It's just, do you trust the people that are doing this? So yeah, at first it's like they're talking about miracles and stuff like that. Like you can make people's, you know, walk or limb restoration or things like that. But if it's all general purpose, then, you know, what comes next? This whole transhumanism thing, there's that fine line between, you know, rehabilitating, you know, and helping some disability, and then augmentation to give you superhuman powers, or augmentation that allows the total reading and decoding of your thoughts, what you're feeling, your emotional states, and all these things. So even Elon Musk, a couple of years ago, when he did the Neuralink demonstration on the three little pigs, one of the people in the audience asked, you know, what the future would kind of look like. And he wasn't specific. Musk answered, he didn't say specifically Neuralink, but he said that one day, yeah, you'll be able to upload memories and download memories into either a new body or a new computer. And I just, that just blows my mind, because I mean, if you lose your memories, or if someone else's memories are implanted in yours, then who are you? Like, what's your identity? Like, how easily can you be manipulated? You know, that, I even had a dream years ago, which I wrote a story about on The Sociable, called, I think, the Ubermensch and the Cuckoo's Nest. It was about a dream I had. It was like an insane asylum for people with BCI brain computer interfaces. And it was just because these people were hallucinating like crazy, and they need to go some kind of AI psych ward. So that, yeah, it lets your imagination run wild. But if Musk says it's going to happen, he kind of makes those things happen. So who knows?
Maybe it wasn't a dream. Maybe it was a prophetic vision that you were having at the time, because you do have, whether you like it or not, you do have these sort of semi-prophetic visions that you then commit to paper in your writings for The Sociable. And if you don't, haven't checked out The Sociable website, I'll tell you what, that must be one throttled website, because I'll tell you why, or your page on Twitter. I follow that account on Twitter or X, and I swear you on that feed never, ever, ever comes up in my list of things to see. And I don't follow, I only follow about 150 people on that. So it's not like you're lost in thousands and thousands of people. It never, ever comes up. So that's why I want to highlight it this morning. Check it out, sociable.co, or The Sociable at X or Twitter. But you wrote a piece, actually, I want to try and resurrect this one for you, back in March 2017. So what's that, 7 years ago you wrote this piece, almost just over 7 years ago, from The Sociable archives. This struck a chord with me last night as I was reading it. There was only one problem with trying to imitate the holy act of creation, and that was that the being that was created, the golem, had no soul. What are we creating if not modern day golems? And I know that's in relation to a certain thing, but I don't know, man. I know you're a little bit more rural and maybe isolated from, you know, big cities and tech where you are at the minute in Colombia. But the more I walk around, you know, in life, observing things, there seems to be a soullessness around now where people prefer a digital realm than physical human interaction. And I get people not maybe aren't that social. I'm pretty antisocial. I keep a small circle of friends, but I still value human contact over digital interaction any day. Are we being slowly reconditioned and slowly eroded? Our souls are being eroded to become golem-esque, whether or not we take an implant or not.
Yeah, I mean, I see, I mean, kind of a zombification of humanity in a way, in that respect. I mean, I remember seeing this going back, 10, 12, 13 years ago when I was a waiter in the United States serving tables. And when cell phones just started becoming, more ubiquitous, and I would go to wait a table and everyone would just be sitting there with their phones and not paying attention to either themselves or me. I just decided at that point, I really don't want to have anything to do with this. This is horrible. Is this where we're heading? And, with the soullessness of everything. Once you combine, the machine and human, it reminds me of the scene from Star Wars, Obi-Wan Kenobi. He's more machine now than man, twisted and evil. Where does one begin, one end and the other begin? That's the whole transhumanism thing. That's the whole a way a lot of organizations work, with merging things that are opposite. So like public-private partnerships, where does one end, when the other begin? It's just these blending of things until we don't know what reality is anymore.
You talk about the evolution, for example, of mobile phones. When you first started seeing people with them, I got my first mobile phone in 2008, March 2008. So what's that, 16, 17 years ago? And at the time, I'm sure you can remember the first incarnations were these big bricks and they had screw-on aerials on top of them. And there was no such thing as polyphonic ringtones. No one ever could conceive why they would text somebody on their phone instead of actually phoning them. And when you look at what you have now that's available with these megapixel cameras, you've got internet connectivity. You couldn't have foreseen back in 2007-8 that things could have come along so far in such a short space of time. Let me ask you a question. This brain interface chip, this Neuralink thing, surely that must be the ultimate incarnation of this type of tech. How much further past that can you go that you have something implanted in your head, assuming it works well and it's for our benefit, which I don't believe it is, but assuming it does, you can't go much further past the fact that you are the machine. You are connected and merged in with the machine, and your thoughts are enough to do these things. You don't even have to touch a screen. Remember the old phones used to have to dial numbers?
Then
Apple brought it, there's nothing on it. In BlackBerrys, you remember BlackBerrys? They actually had a full QWERTY keyboard on them. That was marketed as something revolutionary. It's like, we don't even need the keys. You can just tap on the phone. What the heck can you do that? So how much further can we take this?
I see the next, if there is the next step, and it's an area that I'm not too knowledgeable of because it's really scientific and out there, but quantum computing, quantum messaging, quantum communications. In that way, I don't know if you would actually need something implanted some kind of signal can come from elsewhere. And just go right through, read the brains, read the thoughts, decode this, and then create a holographic image of what's going on or, how you're feeling and all that. So that's an area, quantum computing is so far out there that I have trouble getting my head around it just because it can, it's so much faster. It can break all encryption. It can do all these things. I mean, potentially, that is, you need a stable computer and all that. And the technology, on theory, whenever I read this stuff or I listen to professors, it's just, that's a lot of jargon. But then I hear them talk about, it's really, quantum entanglement and meddling in metaverses. Yeah. And it's like multiverses. And it's just like, I don't even further grasp. But if you're saying the next step, I think it'll look something like that.
The quantum route. And just as we finish this little session up, Tim, I know you live in a reasonably rural area, or certainly secluded area in Colombia, have done for a very, very long time. And for a long time, a broader eye smiled on my face the other day. I was checking back through your records. Doesn't have a phone that I always used to put up on the studio. And then you finally got a phone. I thought, are they getting to Hinchcliffe? Is this a sign of the end? Never mind, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Tim Hinchcliffe now has a phone. Is that cause for concern? Yes or no?
Bit, yeah. I got one because I moved to another place in the mountains, like 20 minutes away. And doing the whole logistics of everything here, I had to get a phone. I mean, I had a secondhand a phone that my mother gave me. I never used it. And so I just finally got a SIM card and connected it. So I only used it for pictures and things. But to tell you the truth, all day during the day, I don't take it with me into public. I don't go into town with it. I leave it in the drawer turned off all the time until I need to use it. So if someone ever tries to call me or message me, I pretty much, you know, it might be a day or two before I'll get to that. So that's kind of what I'm doing with that. Just kind of keep it to the side.
I hope you stick with that. And you know, it's funny. I'm having a laugh here, a wry smile on my face, because to me that was certainly a sign of the end. Whenever Tim Hinchcliffe, I thought if Hinchcliffe ever gets a phone, I know the end is nigh. And you have one, albeit it's kept switched off and in your drawer. But still, you know, it causes me a little bit of concern. I'm only saying that tongue in cheek, of course. Tim, we're pretty much up to the end of time here. If I haven't already done so, please follow him on Twitter or X at Tim Hinchcliffe, HinchLiffe. And he's also editor at The Sociable. And that's a very important, I'd say more important than following him personally. Follow The Sociable on Twitter or X at The Sociable, and check out the website, sociable.co. Deserves to be a hell of a lot bigger and more influential than it is. Although I think you are picking up a little bit of traction with that. I noticed a post that you dragged up from 2020 where old Joe Rogan even quoted some of your work on The Sociable as well. Let's hope for more exposure for that as you continue to fight the good fight down in Colombia, Tim. So listen, we're pretty much up to time. The music's going to be playing in my earpiece, which means it's time for me to shuffle off and let someone else on here. But I hope it's not going to be as long before we speak again. And it's always an absolute blast to talk to you. So big thanks to you today, Tim.
My pleasure. Great to see you again. Great to be on. Thank you so much.
Oh, pleasure, Tim Hinchcliffe, the one and only. And I've got to make way now for James Freeman, so make sure you stay tuned for the Freeman Report here in TNT, and I'll be back tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. sharp UK time through to midday, Monday through Friday. Stay tuned for more. Don't go away. This is TNT Today's News Talk.